Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
It's time for that one guy who plays that one song. It's Brody time! Mark Brody joins us.
Welcome to the G-Spot, yo.
Morning, Molly. Morning, Coom. Morning. Morning, Dan.
Morning, Mike.
Morning, Chris. Morning, Brandon. Morning, guys.
Mark, you are a beautiful and wondrous human. What a joy.
That's the look I'm going for. Okay. That's what I'm always trying to put together for you guys. I will say, I have been busting out. I wore the flag and anthem
look
over the last
you.
Couple of days. Okay. It's being laundered right now, or else I'd be rocking that.
You are clearly a man begging for more clothing. That's what it sounds like to me.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw. 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Bears.
Let's go.
We have actually, at least for today, we have run out of people named Mully and Haw. There is no Mully here. There is no Haw here. Mully's a little bit under the weather here the last couple of days. Haw is tending to some personal business. I assume that he'll probably be back tomorrow. And so it is from the Chicago Sports Network. It is Ruthie Polinsky and me, Mark Grody. What's up, Ruthie?
What's up, Grody? How fun is this? Oh, bright and early.
It's the best. It is the best. It's so funny, like when you walk in, when you are subbing on a morning show, I've always noticed that the, and in this case, Dustin Rhodes, there's always that almost apology. Sorry you had to get up so early today. Sorry, we understand how dreadful it is. On a moment's notice. So it's been, I knew about 3 o'clock yesterday, but neither of us is probably in great shape for the mornings in terms of being up this early and talking.
This is not really our status quo by any means, right? In sports, you're always up late, you're watching games, you're covering whatever it may be. For us, the alarm goes off real early on these mornings, but it's all for a good cause.
It is for a good cause because we got tons of stuff to talk about today. What were you watching last night, Ruthie Polinsky?
Last night I had the Bulls on, I had the Blackhawks on, and I was it was overwhelming a lot by just a lot of bad.
the Bulls last night. They.
It's tough.
They lose to the Dallas Mavericks 119-99, and they were like, there was nothing really redeeming about the game last night.
I think you could probably make a case for Matis Buzelis, who you kind of are starting to see him get more comfortable. That's exciting, I think, if you're a Bulls fan right now. But other than that, it left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. Buzelis was good. He had a career high 13 points. I think it's the first time that he's actually been in double figures, 9 rebounds, couple of steals, a block. He did look comfortable out there. And sometimes that can be on the account of other guys being out, like Zach LaVine was out again last night. Lonzo Ball continues to be out with that right wrist injury. But that's kind of like that game last night was what we expected out of the Bulls.
23 turnovers.
23 turnovers.
Turned into 28 points.
Boom.
For the Mavs.
Boom.
And like, there you go. Like, that's all you need to look at. And you're like, yeah, you're not going to win games if you're playing like that.
They were just funning with the Bulls towards the end. Like, just watching.
It hit 30. Didn't it hit 30? I think it hit, at one point they were down by 30.
Maybe. I know it was 25 at one point in time.
Yeah.
It might have been 30, but yeah, Luka Doncic, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 13 assists. So he was just shy of the triple-double last night. And it just, in the fourth quarter, before they took out their starters, it just looked like he was like, okay, let's just have some fun here and just beat Luka and just Luka all over the place. I mean, this is a really good team. Kyrie Irving, 17 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of assists. Our guy Daniel Gafford, the ex-Bull, 17 points, 3 blocks on the night, dunking left and right. Daniel Gafford, that was my favorite part about his time with the Bulls. I didn't know he would go on to be as successful as he has been. He's not necessarily a superstar or anything like that, but that dude is an absolute athlete out there. But the Bulls were bad in the paint. They were bad on offense, and we're giving Matis Buzelis the exception there. Bad defense, like very little. Like Coby White, 3 of 13. Old Josh Giddey, 3 of 9. Ayo Dosunmu, 2 of 13 from the field. But I guess, again, Ruthie, this is what people expected from the Bulls. And maybe, quite frankly, I want to say people, the Bulls organization is what I mean. This is sort of what they expected and maybe even wanted because they know that this is a development year, and essentially they are trying to build some rebuilding, building back up, but they've got these guys who are still formidable NBA players like Zach LaVine, like Nikola Vucevic, but this might have been circle this game as, hey man, those the four wins that the Bulls have had so far this year, it's been fun, but that's probably more of the Chicago Bulls right there of 2024.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Josh Giddey too, because when I was watching, I just kind of felt like he was making some plays here and there, and I was like, oh, this player, he's actually a little bit more exciting than I anticipated. And I know he's an exciting player, but he's more exciting to watch. But then I look at his numbers and it's like 1 of 3 from three, 3 of 9 from the field. It's just not 5 turnovers, you know, just can't really do that.
Yeah. Everybody got a couple turnovers. Everybody got
you theirs. Get a turnover and you get a turnover.
That one's for you. So the Bulls are now, they are 4-4. They are right back home against Minnesota tonight. So the Bulls with the start of back-to-backs, we'll see if they fare slightly better tonight. But yeah, it just wasn't a good performance last night, unless you do look at Buzelis as a nice point of development. I'm sure that it was. I was at Halas Hall yesterday.
How was that?
Like I usually am. It was good. It's a bouncy day. You know how Wednesdays are.
Bouncy.
It was bouncy because you got the Floos up there. And then you have Caleb talking, DJ Moore talking, and then a locker room access.
Were you a part of any team meetings?
I was not part of any team meetings. We should probably talk about the team meetings, because we were just talking about that before we came on the air. You and me and Dustin Rhodes, in regards to the word has gotten out that there was another team meeting, another spirited team meeting where guys were allowed to be transparent and talk about whatever they want to air out. And this has been like a big thing this year, the players kind of being in control of the team.
Yeah, I think Floos kind of tried to clarify a little bit yesterday. This isn't like a, you know, sit around, hold hands, kumbaya, like let's all, you know, share our feelings. I think they're having a lot of team meetings, as they should be, right? They're an NFL team. You would like to know that they're meeting as a team.
It's a good thing, yeah.
Probably, especially after a couple of losses like that, you want to sit down and be able to, you know, have a motivational speech or whatever it may be to kind of regroup and get situated and be able to turn the page, because that's something that even the players said they felt like they didn't turn the page quick enough last year. So hopefully that's, or last week, excuse me. So that's what's happening, hopefully this week. But I do think a lot is being made of these like team meetings, and people think it's like we got to have a team meeting. It's like, no, let's have the regularly scheduled meeting that we have every Monday. And perhaps this one was maybe more spirited and more players spoke up. Like Flew said yesterday, you know, I sometimes will open the floor, and it sounds like some guys spoke up. And I think that's a really positive thing. I see that as something that good teams should do. You know, if this was a bad team with no leaders, probably no one would have raised their hand and said, I have something to say.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think a lot is being made of these like team meetings, because as outsiders, we don't understand kind of just like the daily schedule. Whereas like this is every Monday we meet, whether we win or we lose, we're going to talk about what happened before, you know, you go get treatment or whatever you need to
do. Yeah. And we're going to hear from Floos and Cole come out here in just a second. But it is an interesting point, because clearly this team is different than a lot of others. It's certainly different than any. I've been on the full-time beat since 2018. This team is way different from any other team that I've covered, in that, just from the very base, they have 8 captains in that locker room, which when you talk to other NFL players, ex-NFL players, it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm not sure if it's unprecedented in the NFL, but it's pretty rare when you've got 8 guys with a voice. So I keep saying, and I don't know how Matt Eberflus feels about it, but I always think, be careful what you wish for, be careful what you implement, because if you have 8 captains, then you're going to have 8 guys who have different personalities, who may want to impose their will, who may want to speak out, who may want to say things, who may want the football. And so I've toggled back and forth between, is there a problem with the players towards Matt Eberflus, or is this actually a really good thing, because the players feel empowered. And we all know that in life, Ruthie, if we hold things in, it's not good for us. Mm-hmm. It's not healthy. Mm-hmm. Then we don't get things worked out, and then you walk around being mad at each other, and then you may whisper something to a reporter, or in life, you may whisper something to a friend, or whatever the case may be. But in this case, it sounds like most of the players, if they have something to get off their chest, if Mercedes Lewis is not happy because Shane Waldron is not yelling at people enough, or whatever the case may be, they have, or scripted 15 plays, whatever the case may be, they now seem to feel empowered to do that. So I go back and forth. Is it too much power for the players, or is the joke on us and it's just perfect because they're having these great conversations and maybe this is just a bad, bad two-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. And because they're allowed to be transparent and because there's this open communication and because they're supposedly close, this is a good thing.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's hard for us to know, right? I mean, all we can do is listen to what we're hearing. And I think Jalen Johnson said it on these airwaves on the afternoon show that everything that they said, all the players came out and said last week where, you know, maybe they were told, hey, let's not go out and air our dirty laundry.
Not everything, right.
But
right.
Jalen Johnson said, you know, everything I said, I had already told my coaching staff.
Great point.
So I think there's an element of like, this isn't like they feel like they're like us against them, like the players versus the coaches. I do believe that they're all kind of united in this. At this juncture, I could that go south if they lose to the Patriots? Oh, baby, buckle up. I mean, that scares me. But I do feel like right now, I just feel like a lot is being made of like the players or like Matt Eberflus has lost the locker room. Like, I just don't see that. I think they're 4-4. Like, they still have a lot to play for. And do they need to be better? Like, 100%. But I think they also were sitting there being like, we're 4-4. Arizona was 4-4 going into that game, and they were leading their division. So, like, that just shows you kind of, like, 4-4 is not 500. Like, I know we're 0-0. Like, that's not how that works, let's do the math. but I do understand that, like, I do think the players see, like, we're not a bad team. This isn't, like, going south yet. It could.
Yeah, well,
it really could. And I think that's what's scary for fans.
I love that you brought up Arizona because they weren't feeling great coming into the Bears. Imagine how good their week is.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how good all those Bears fans were there. Those sports talk radio in Arizona is probably buzzing. Like,
popping
off. They won a game where Kyler Murray was kind of non-existent, and they dominated the Bears with their run game, and they've got this great quarterback, too. Well, some people don't think he's so great, but like that. That, to your point about how quickly things change in the NFL, the Bears are still, throughout everything, and I got a lot to say about the Bears today and DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. And
oh, yeah.
We have a lot. Like, they have legitimately struggled, and Caleb Williams has been rough the last couple of weeks. But if they beat New England, we're not going to come in here on Monday saying, well, that's a 2-7 team. Like, if the Bears win, like, in convincing fashion over the Patriots, we're going to come in here and it's going to be like, yep, party's back on, bro. 5-4. The Bears are heading into the
Green Bay.
They're heading into the gauntlet of the season. So it's, especially that. But again, then it's so fragile right now because I keep calling it the trilogy of games. The bad Hail Mary loss 2 weeks ago, the terrible loss in Arizona. Now, if they do complete the trilogy and lose this game to Arizona, watch out.
To New England, you mean? If they lose to Arizona. Yeah, they lost to Arizona.
Did I say Arizona again?
But that's okay.
Let me take another sip of this coffee right here.
Yeah, please.
Go ahead.
Chug. I think New England is arguably the worst team in the league right now. Like, they're very bad. The best player on their team is probably the quarterback, who's fine.
Who's not that good yet.
He's fine. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely things for Patriots fans to get excited. He's not Tom Brady, but like he's good.
Yeah, I like Drake May.
But there is not a lot of talent or skill at all.
They got their own
anywhere.
Coaching issues there.
I'm like looking at the roster. I'm like, who are these people? Like, coaching issues. It's the whole thing. They're soft. You know, their coach is getting called. So I think this is an opportunity to get right. And if you don't, There's the trilogy for you.
Trilogy. Yeah.
That's a scary trilogy.
Do you have a favorite trilogy in movies? Are you a movie person, Ruthie Polinsky?
So, not really.
Okay. It's okay. You seem like guilty saying that.
No,
like,
everyone always asks me, have you seen this movie? And I'm always like, like classics. Like, it's kind of
You know who you have to talk to in regards to that? Is one of our bosses, Ryan Porth.
You know Ryan.
Of course you know Ryan. Yeah, he probably called you to be in here today.
He did.
Ryan knows nothing. Nothing about pop culture. Nothing about any movie. Like, I had a conversation with him. I walked out of his office. I can't do this anymore with you.
Yeah, that's tough. And it's, you know, sometimes it's just like a conversation ender. And that's when it's just awkward. It's like, oh, have you seen, you know, that movie? I'm like,
no.
Like, okay.
Note to self.
Bye.
By the way, that's our extra point question is about your top 10 movies. Okay. So is that what you guys put down?
I've seen movies.
Yeah. I can edit that. I can edit that.
Okay, you can edit that up. Okay.
I've seen movies. It's not that I've never seen a movie in my life, but like oftentimes it's like a classic. Do you have a trilogy, favorite trilogy?
Well, I guess what keeps coming to my brain is Star Wars. So
yeah, not a Star Wars gal.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a Star Wars nerd because that would be insulting to Star Wars nerds, but I'm into it. I like it.
Okay.
So I go, pardon me, I go Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. So that now we are coming up on the Return of the Jedi. And that would be the third in the original trilogy, although that's kind of out of order and out of whack. We'll get you. You know what? I'm gonna send you guys, your family, I'm gonna send you guys all of the DVDs. I could just transfer it over to you on Xfinity. Got the whole thing for you. So we'll send it to you.
I've got it on VHS.
What a lovely gift.
If you like it on VHS, I can give you those.
Rhodes, are you a Star Wars guy?
Absolutely. You and I are about the same age-ish.
Yeah. So you
and here's
can...
the, you know, Ruthie, the difference is for us older folks out there, here's what's interesting. It's because once you saw Star Wars, the first one, you never saw it again. It was in the theater.
Right.
And that was it.
Right.
There was no DVD. There was no Blockbuster Video.
Right.
They weren't on FX and TNT constantly. So I had 10 different people that my parents knew. I saw it 10 times in the theater because everybody, so cool. I was the excuse. Like all their friends like didn't have kids or like aunts and uncles have kids. So like I saw it all these times because we got to take this kid to see this movie. You know, everybody was talking. So I saw it a bunch. But then it was like forever. And you had to wait and wait and wait for the next one. Mark just brought it up. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was a real thing, man. Standing in line at the movie theaters.
So the first movie that my parents took me to see was Lion King in theaters.
Okay.
I was 3.
Wow.
I think.
Do you remember?
Two. No.
No.
But it's a great story because, you know, I ended up being very into musical theater and I love Disney and Lion King, whatever. And so I was very, very little. And at the end, remember Simba is like standing on the edge of the cliff after Mufasa dies and he yells, "Dad!"
Wait, don't spoil it.
Okay. Yeah, sorry for those of you. So I'm 2 or 3 years old and I stand up in my seat and I scream, "Dad!" in the theater.
Really?
That like probably one of
that's adorable.
So that's a great, that's a famous Ruthie story.
Oh, man. That's so funny. I am so, I got to tell you here, this is just a little therapy moment for me, I think. I am so sensitive about like animal stuff. Like if I like what, like thinking about that when you just said that, like there was like pressure like just now in my eyes.
Did you know that I went we are really getting off topic
it's
here
okay.
But did you know that
it's the first right Fryer, this is what goes on around here in the first half an hour of the show.
Yeah, we might be talking like ranch, David not liking hot dogs.
So my honeymoon this summer, I went on an African safari.
Yes, you did. Oh my God.
It was incredible.
Loved your picture.
And we actually watched Lion King on our way, the new Lion King. Have you seen the new one that's like AI animals? It's unbelievable. And then we watched it on the plane on the way home, and my husband and I are both sobbing.
Oh my God.
Because we had just seen like the animals, and the way that Disney and just, it's incredible. It's so accurate and their behavior and like the way they move. And like, obviously, when's the last time I watched Lion King? But I hadn't seen the new one. It's Beyonce as Nala.
Okay.
It's the voice of Nala. It's not Beyonce.
She's not a lion?
No.
Biala's I don't speak Lion King. So is Biala the wife?
Nala is the, Simba,
the wife
Simba and Nala fall in love.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. what was the most awesome thing you and Harry saw on your trip?
Ooh, I mean, it's crazy. So obviously we saw the big five, which is awesome. So we saw lions, yes. elephants,
yes.
Leopard,
yes.
rhino.
Rhino.
And what am I missing?
Hyenas.
Saw hyenas. I don't think they're in the
giraffe.
Big five. Oh, yeah. Tons of giraffes.
Because a hyena is not a cat, right? That's like a rat dog
or
something.
The big five isn't exactly. I'm missing
oh,
one.
Oh, cheetah.
No, I didn't see a cheetah.
Okay, but that's got to be in the big five.
It might be in the big five, so maybe we didn't see a cheetah.
Okay, well, let's do the big five again.
Anyways,
okay, so it's not all cats,
so,
right?
No, yeah. It's not all cats. Bears. So that was no bears. No bears in the
Africa. No bears. What kind of a place is Africa?
Hairless,
no bears.
Hairless bears.
Come on, no
yeah.
bears.
So it was, it, anyway, it
you
was
got
just,
ripped off.
It was incredible. Probably my favorite moment. So we were there in July, which is just kind of the start of the Great Migration, when all of the animals are migrating, like herds
oh,
of thousands of wildebeest and zebra. Oh, water buffalo. That's the other one in the big five. And I guess saw those as well. So all these animals migrate and they cross a river. They have to cross a river
no.
and in the Masai Mara, which is where we were.
Are the gators waiting for them?
Gators and hippos. Oh. So let me tell you something. Yeah, so we saw a few zebra that were trying to cross, just like three zebra were trying to cross. And our guide, who was they're so brilliant and they know the animal's behavior so well. Our guide was like, there might be something happening here. We're like, what do you mean? It's like three zebra. Like they're trying to get a drink of water. He's like, no. So we camp out there. Sure enough, herds. I mean, when I'm telling you thousands of zebra just come sprinting down this mountain. Okay. And they all come up to the lip of the river. Okay. And all the crocs are swarming.
Oh my God.
Waiting for this. We were there for 7 hours waiting for these zebra to cross. They'd dip their toe in and they'd all, the crocs would come and they would all sprint away.
Wow.
And then they come back.
Oh my God.
And then the whatever. So then, this is crazy. So then after a couple hours, they started giving up. Like the zebra were starting to run away.
Ain't so dumb after all.
And all of a sudden, like some of them come sprinting right back and we're like, what's going on? What's going on? A lion comes and is like hunting this zebra. So a lion's like perched up, like watching this herd of zebra. Okay.
Holy.
So we're like, this is National Geographic. Like, what is going on? So our guide, who was brilliant, was like, they're not going to cross here because the lion's here. Do you trust me? And we're like, we're going to leave this. We've been sitting here for 7 hours waiting for these zebra to cross the river. He takes us upstream a little bit and all the cars kind of follow us because we're, you know, there's a bunch of cars that are waiting for us. And we're like sitting there. Sure enough, all the zebra come sprinting upstream and they all cross right in front of us. It was the most magical to see that kind of just like nature. Like, why do they know that they need to cross the river? Like, why do they know that they're migrating?
Yeah.
And then by that time, it was like sort of sundown. And then we were kind of driving quickly to get out of the national park that was closing like at sundown. And all the zebra are sprinting. And we're like next to the zebra in this like gorgeous pink sunset. And we're like, what is my life? Like it was the most unbelievable once in a lifetime experience getting to just be one with nature. You feel so small.
Yeah.
That's so small.
Awesome.
In that. It was incredible. We had the best time.
Can you guys invite me over for dinner sometime to show me the slideshow?
100%.
I would like that to happen. I would accept that invitation.
100%.
You guys are taking me through it because that is.
It was wonderful. And I like really kind of like talked my husband into buying this really fancy, like beautiful camera before the trip.
Yeah.
And he was like, we don't need it. Sure enough, was he happy we had that camera. And it was cool. All of our lodges had like lenses you could borrow, like rent from them. So we had like huge zoom. Some of these photographs you'd think I'm like National Geographic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a good camera.
Like what you just did right now. And I got lost in your words. Like, cause I was just listening to it. It does sound like one of those awesome nature shows.
It was.
Like everything.
I'll show you some in break.
Oh, I will look forward to that. But you didn't see.
There's some on my Instagram if anyone's listening and wants to go check it out.
Yeah. What is your.
At Ruthie Polinsky.
And your Twitter?
At Ruthie Polinsky.
Oh, how about that? I used to be at Mark Grody Sports, but I lost that. I am just simply at Grody.
You're not at Bears.
I'm not at Bears. Hey, I keep the dream alive. You know what I mean? One of these days, I am going to actually turn into a bear.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be my destiny. There are one of two things is going to happen to me as I continue to age. I'm either going to actually turned into Les Grobstein, who was our old overnight host, who we lost a few years ago, one of our dear characters here at The Score, who I'd fill in for and I worked with and I was buddies with. That could happen, or I'm going to turn into a bear. It's very possible. One of those two things will happen, a bear or a grobber. I'm not sure which. We will, when we come back, I don't really want to get the show back on the track because I love talking about animals and National Geographic and African safaris, but we got a lot of bears and bulls to talk about this morning. We've got our pick six coming up next, along with Ruthie Polinsky. I'm Mark Grody. This is the Mully and Haw Show on The Score. Bears.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can the Bears put the back-to-back losses in the rearview mirror, or will there be a hangover effect this Sunday against the Patriots?
I don't think the hangover is going to be as bad as the hangover was in the Arizona game from the previous week. But I think there's going to be like that day two or day three. Like, you're over the stupids like you get when you get really drunk one night, and then the next day you're dumb and you're useless and you have a headache and you're hurting and you're taking whatever you need to make yourself feel better. I'm making this very personal right now. I mean, all of that. But I think that this could be like day three where you're starting to come out of it and you're like, oh God, I do feel good again. Mm-hmm. I think I will be able to party again someday. So, but I do think that there will still be a bit of a hangover, as in, Bears are not blowing anybody out. Even as bad as New England is, and you mentioned that in the first segment, Ruthie, as bad as they are, the Bears are kind of like, they are injured right now, and we'll get to some of that later on. They're walking on eggshells. Whether they say it or not, they are feeling some pressure. They know what's coming. They know what's coming after this New England game. It is the gauntlet of the division. You know, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit coming up. And just for the heck of it, then at San Francisco, and then more Minnesota and more Detroit. So when you know you have to win, I think you feel that pressure. The thing that they have going for them is they do play really well at home. The Bears have been really good under Matt Eberflus playing at Soldier Field. So I think that that's going to be a big deal. And the other part really quickly, too, is let's not forget it happened this year. The Bears did have a three-game winning streak, and they beat bad teams and bad defenses, the Rams, Carolina, and Jacksonville. Look good doing it. So I think they will get over it. I think that they will win the game, but I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Well, let's rewind to October the 7th, I believe, the last time the Bears were at Soldier Field, and the Bears ended up scoring 27 points in the first half. And I think that's going to be the key. Mark, you talked about what you got to do the next day, trying to fight off that hangover. What the Bears need to do is they need to actually score in the first quarter.
Oh, man.
And how about score three times in the first half? Mm. It doesn't all have to be in the first quarter. And here's another idea. If you win the toss, I know there's numbers and metrics and analytics and all that stuff has a place in sports. But every once in a while, I think you just got to do what the smart thing is. If you win the coin toss on Sunday and you're at home, take the damn ball, show the 15 plays that you got, you know, down pat, and go down the field and try to score. Because if there's another three and out, I think all of a sudden the Excedrin isn't working exactly the way we had hoped. The caffeine isn't working. The grease isn't working. You don't want to give the Patriots the ball and have Drake May dinking and dunking and running a little bit, because the Bears' run defense, we're going to talk about that in a minute, is not great right now. It might be worse without Big Billings out for a while. We're going to talk about that. So win the toss and take the ball and score some points and feel a whole lot better.
Here's the other thing, really quickly, Ruthie. If the Bears get the ball and they go three and out at Soldier Field. Hello, Boo Birds.
Yeah, that's
we saw it with Mitch Trubisky. We saw it with Justin Fields, and I cringe, but it will happen.
Really quick, sorry. If that does happen, is there a way, Mark, you'll be at the game on Sunday, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Can you, like, stick your microphone and catch some of that sound?
You want some of that Nat sound for the show?
Do you have Les's Marantz? Can you run out there and throw the mic out to the...
Apparently they saw. I told those guys never to sell that thing, but they did. Guess who else will be there on Sunday? David Hall.
Ooh.
So fun. I'll have him do. He's a big...
I needed a break from him. Anyway.
Yeah, I bet you do.
All I do is see David Haw all the time.
Apparently he and I, though, I won't reveal where, because I know Haw. Like, I'm not that private of a person. Like, I like to put stuff out. Haw and I apparently be living in the same neighborhood.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Can the Bears put back-to-back losses in the rearview mirror? They need to. They have to. That's my answer. I'm with you, Dustin. You got to score early and score first, because guess what? Everything's easier when you play with the lead. Everything. You can run the ball. You can stick with the run. And that's what this team needs to do right now, because things are not going well for the quarterback, not going well for the offensive line. You need to be able to put points on the board and do it in a way that helps your young quarterback, because they're not doing that. And also helps your defense, because they're banged up and you don't want to have to make them keep getting back on the field and having to play for long periods of time. If they don't put these back-to-back losses in the rearview mirror,
is it over?
It's God bless. Oof. It's gonna be tough go for everyone, because then Green Bay comes to town. You ready for that? Got to put this behind them.
I am not.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He's with you guys at 7 a.m. Biggs time. Do you consider Wednesday's Bears injury report good or bad news?
Bad, 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 bad news. So very bad. Probably the worst part of it all is Andrew Billings. Very concerned about his health in general and all of the things that are surrounding the Jaquan Brisker situation. Very concerning. He's been out with the concussion that he suffered on October 6th. And then you look at the offensive line, Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, DNPs on Wednesday. I mean, it's tough. You look at that injury, that's a long list.
Yeah.
Montez Sweat limited. I guess that's the one positive, is that that's an upgrade. Other than that, the injury report is bad news.
I think that was seven bads, Ruthie. I'm not gonna completely disagree, but I'm gonna bring it down to maybe five.
Okay.
I'm not quite as bad. Here's the Bears offensive line was a disaster, an absolute disaster in Arizona. And you're out there. I feel like there's like mixed reports. Did the tackles not play at all? Were they limited? Flusi said he thinks they're both trending in the right direction. Ryan Bates, Tevin Jenkins, full participants. If those two guys are your two guards, all of a sudden you got something going. Like, so that's my big positive,
okay,
right? Montez Sweat, you clearly need that guy, okay? They got two blues or two fives on defense. He's one of them. He was missed in Arizona. He's going to play against the Patriots. Kyler Gordon, they've missed him a ton. He was a limited participant. That's good news. He was limited last week too.
Yeah.
Didn't end up, but I think he's trending in the right direction. It's bad they don't have Billings, but let's be honest, even when he was in there the last couple of weeks, the Bears' run defense has not been good. So you get another big fat guy, and you try your hardest to keep the guards off Tremaine Edmonds, who all of a sudden, I mean, you want to talk about the guy that needs to look in the mirror? What is Tremaine Edmonds doing? All he does is catch linemen for a living. He can't get off a block to save his life.
Oh,
he was awful.
If he can't get off a block, does this mean he's turning into Brian Urlacher?
Urlacher? We could go down that road.
No, I don't want to go down that
road. Corey Schlesinger still, you know, how Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears.
Yeah.
Corey Schlesinger owns Brian Urlacher.
Ooh. Oh, wow. You really do want to go. Oh, yeah. You're the guy who didn't think that Brian Urlacher should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That article in the Sporting News was started by me.
I know it was.
I jumped on a table for that one.
What was it, like, most overrated players?
Most overrated player in the NFL. Again, that doesn't mean you're bad.
Okay.
He was, at that point in time, he was the most overrated player in the NFL.
This guy's got problems, man. Brian Urlacher was great from the beginning of his career. Once they figured out where he needed to be as a linebacker, the man was great. But that's obviously something for another day. I will give this injury report. How about, since you guys are giving numbers, I'll give it 3 bads and 2 bears. How about that? So it's a collective 5 right there. No, it's all bad because we've been talking about it for a lot of this morning already. The Bears have to win this game. If they don't win this game, we're in no man's land. It's off the cliff. I don't have an answer. If they fall under 500 heading into the gauntlet, it's a big issue. So when we're talking about, after giving up 213 yards rushing against Atlanta, against Arizona, and your starting tackles did not practice yesterday, and Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, you mentioned Andrew Billings. I mean, he is, I don't know if they've made it official yet, but he is definitely going on injured reserve. It's a pec injury. Pec injuries are bad.
He's
having surgery. I don't see him stepping on the field again this year. Jaquan Brisker, that is an interesting situation. I did not talk to him yesterday out at Halsall. Didn't happen to see him in the locker room, but I did talk to him the week before. He was, you know, all smiles and stuff, like in a good mood and all that kind of stuff. But I was like kind of trying to get a feel for when he might be back, and I did bring up the idea of, you've got all these hard games coming up, maybe be healthy for that, and he kind of agreed with it, and I was kind of guiding him, so he didn't say this, but he agreed, yeah, man, I want to be healthy for all of those big games. But I don't even know. I mean, there's some mystery surrounding Jaquan Brisker. By the way, he will not play on Sunday. We already know that. While we're talking about the secondary and Kyler Gordon being hurt, while we're at it, Jalen Jones didn't practice yesterday, and he's been a valuable backup for you as well. So it's not a good thing to be going into another must-win week with all of these guys injured. So as a matter of fact, throughout all of my talking, I have upped it to 4 bads and 1 bear. Okay. So that's where we're at. That's where we're going to keep it.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
All right, that's our guy, DJ Moore. He's here at 8 o'clock after every Bears game the next morning, always. Even London, he was here right away. Are we moving on from the DJ Moore taking himself out of the game? Are you buying that the ankle was hurting him? Let's listen to this cut.
Tweaked ankle. I was coming back to, because I seen Caleb scrambling, and my ankle went in and out. I was already, couldn't stop, so my momentum took me out of bounds, and then I just walked off, which, the noise, I hear it, seen it, but he didn't care. So it is what it is.
Is what it is? Are you buying what you heard there from DJ Moore?
We're moving on for sure. At least I am. This reporter is moving on from it, but it's noted. It all goes in the book. It all goes on the resume. It is noted, and I hope that it doesn't have to be referenced later on, because we've already had this one time. I mean, it was almost similar to earlier this year when we were all questioning the body language of DJ Moore. And then Moore got up there at the podium with sort of the same, you guys got to be kidding me, demeanor. I was out there yesterday, so I was looking at the facial expressions. I mean, he's kind of the same always. He wasn't mad up there. He was incredulous. Like, come on, guys, really? Are we really doing this again? So I think it has to be noted, because he is still, he's your best wide receiver still. I know Roma Dunze's had a couple of 100-yard games, but he is still, like, if you are going to win this year, it has to be in part because DJ Moore is your best receiver and is getting the best numbers on the field. Right now, he is not. So it is fair. It is fair to look into, read into everything that is going on with DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. And more of it, I think, is just the on-field chemistry that is lacking between the two. But you have now had two separate, I don't know if incidents is the right way to put it. You've had two separate scenarios where we have questioned DJ Moore, and, you know, it really comes down to desire. And he is one of the hardest working dudes out there. The guy gets paid, and it sounds like he wants to still win more than just about anybody on that team. So I give him the thumbs up from that. But I'm moving on from it, but it is definitely noted.
Noted for sure. Let's go back to our first question. How about get DJ Moore involved early and often? That would also put this thing on the back burner, right? would also put this thing to bed. Now, the video, the screenshot made it look not so great, to the point that I was receiving texts with the still image of him standing out of bounds. And I then went to the DVR, because I was with Mully and Olin and Patrick for the pre- and post-game show.
Name dropper.
Yep. So I did not get to rewind plays like I normally would at home. But I went back, and he's limping. Unless he's a great actor, unless he's like a European football player, soccer guy, you know, they fake injuries all the time. I don't think he's faking the injury. I think something was up. And then he said he came back in the next play, and I think, you were there, did he refer to it as a reindeer?
Yeah.
He ran a reindeer route, so he just ran, he basically like almost like a decoy. He just ran straight ahead and tried to stretch the field a little bit. I think he used the term reindeer. I ran a reindeer route.
I still don't get it. Why reindeer? Can you guys explain that? I just think of Santa Claus and whatnot.
Couldn't
think
follow that.
Yeah.
Which one was he? Rudolph? Dasher?
I'm kind of a prancer guy. You know that about
prancer.
Me.
Yeah, you're a prancer.
You seem like a Blitzen guy. Blitzen! Blitzen! Donner?
I am not ready to move on from this. I think that it's information gathering. Do I believe that DJ Moore hurt his ankle? Sure. Do I like that he ran off the field and went and sat on the bench and didn't see how the play finished? No. Like, whether your ankle hurts, you could go sit down after the play ends. But don't you want to see if the play works, your quarterback's running around scrambling for his life? I think something's up. And I don't want to speculate, and I believe DJ Moore that his ankle wasn't feeling right, but this isn't the first time this season that we've seen visible frustration and bad body language from DJ Moore. So I'm taking it in as information, and I will be keeping an eye on DJ Moore maybe even more closely than I would initially, because I don't think he's thrilled with what's happening right now, understandably.
Yeah.
You know, wide receiver one, like, he wants to be catching the ball, but there's something there. And I'm not ready to move on yet.
We're going to get more into this, but I think like my thesis statement is for what's going on right now with a lot of Caleb Williams and especially the veteran players is that there is this fight, this conflict between quarterback development and winning games. It's a tough thing. And I know they're pulling it off in Washington with Jaden Daniels developing and winning. But it's still a tough trick. Caleb Williams is learning something new and seeing something different every single week of his life, no matter how talented he is. And then you've got guys like Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet who know exactly where they're supposed to be and exactly how they're supposed to do it. And they're all trying to adjust along with Caleb Williams. But we'll get to mm-hmm. more of that a little bit later on.
Yeah, it's a good question.
That's the voice of Brian Baldinger. How do you see the O-line set up this Sunday?
Well, that's interesting.
Brandon Fryer, Dustin Rhodes, yeah. Ruthie Polinsky at center.
I think I'm more, and correct me if I'm wrong, Grody, because you were there yesterday, but I think I'm more optimistic for Darnell Wright to play than I am for Braxton Jones, right?
I think so. Yeah, I can't remember. One of them he was more positive about. For some reason, I thought it was Braxton Jones, but you might be right.
Okay. Let's just say that Darnell Wright's still your right tackle. Right guard? I mean, does Ryan Bates come back this week? Very interesting to see kind of where he fits in. Maybe he's your right guard? Stay at center?
If this would
keep
be,
Shelton at center?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's been the one rock. Irony of that?
You don't want to mess with that. Because no. Bates was kind of your front runner in training camp
sure
to be
was.
Your center.
Yep.
So I think you keep Shelton there, right? That's a chemistry
yeah,
that's thing.
Yeah, he's not moving. Bates has been working on it. I can tell you that he's been working on a guard.
I think Tevin Jenkins at least starts the game. Whether he finishes it, we'll see. Starts the game. And then at left tackle, you have, if Braxton's not there, then you have Borum and or Pryor. It's a musical chairs.
Yeah, no, it really is.
And do I see that being successful? That's another question. Just run the ball. Just run the ball. Run the ball.
Run the ball.
Run the damn ball.
That's it.
Didn't Doug Kramer have a hat that said that? Run the damn ball or run the ball.
Don't give him the ball. Don't
Doug Kramer sends shivers down my spine still. It's too soon.
Nobody wants to hear the name.
Hashtag too soon.
Yeah. Hashtag mini fridge. David Haw, unplug the mini fridge.
What?
So if Ryan Bates is ready.
Check me out.
I want to see Ryan Bates. I want to see if the general manager is finally going to get an offensive lineman via free agency correct. Okay, because he hasn't been so good. The failed offensive lineman has not been a very good evaluator of offensive line talent, at least in free agency. So I'm thinking Darnell Wright's not going to be able to go this week. So I think Matt Pryor is going to move from right guard to right tackle, and that Ryan Bates will move in to the guard spot that Pryor is vacating. Obviously, Shelton will continue to play your center. Tevin Jenkins at left, Braxton Jones back. So I just think we're going to have a little shuffle on the right-hand side.
All right, let me see. Let's see what we have left here. I am under the belief, or maybe this is just the hope. Let's just say one of those tackles has to be back. I don't like the idea. Maybe you'll have to put Matt Pryor at tackle, but he's a guy that was a tackle in his football life, and I think it was with Tennessee. It's a team that the Bears played this year. I don't remember. But Pryor started as a tackle in his career. Didn't work out. They have moved him inside. So he has kind of had his offensive line career resurrected. So I'm nervous about that. The Braxton Jones or Darnell Wright's going to play. I do think Tevin Jenkins will be in there. As far as the Bates situation goes, I think it's possible. I'm hemming and hawing here on Bates because I talked to him by his locker last week and basically was trying to get a feel for him. Is there any chance that he'd be able to play in the game against Arizona? And I came away with it with a big old, he didn't say it, but I can infer pretty well as a reporter, a big old no way. There's no way. There's no way I'm ready. So if he was that much of a no last week, how much would he be able to give you this week? There's always Nate Davis. Nate Davis, still on the Bears roster, still practicing with the Bears, still in the locker room yesterday. So that's a possibility as well. You also have Jake Curhan, who is on the roster, who we saw some of this week. So we'll see. And I realize I'm just naming names right now because it's really difficult to do this when we don't know who is going to be healthy. And that's just a fact right now about this Bears offensive line.
And Karan Amagaji is still hurt.
Karan Amagaji, he's got a calf injury. There's another guy. I don't know if he's going to be back this year.
Feels like a miss.
Feels, well, you mean like on the overall, like drafting? I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay.
Because he had his training camp deleted this year, and when that happens to players and they just, especially offensive linemen, it's going to be a bad rookie year. You're not going to catch up in the 1 year.
But to take an offensive lineman where he was taken, you want him to contribute.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so,
no.
So that's all I'm saying.
Oh, he has to be a contributor. And I will say that Ryan Poles, when he was drafted, pretty much indicated that he was not going to be a starter this year or even a heavy-duty contributor because he did come pre-injured, that it would be next year for Amagaji. So I'm not ready. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not ready to give up on Amagaji yet.
Ooh, that's a great question.
We know that voice. Kyle Hendricks, the last member of the 2016 Cubs, is officially gone. 1 year deal with the Angels, $2.5 million to him. How will you best remember the professor?
Well, I was lucky enough to cover 3 years of his career home and road in the Cubs radio booth, 15, 16, and 17. So I personally, this is personal now, Ruthie, I will remember him as being just a great, awesome dude, a terrific teammate in the locker room, affable, accessible, all of that stuff. But I know we're really talking on the field. And I mean, for me, it's how can you not go to the clincher at Wrigley Field when the Cubs advanced on to the World Series. He was just lights out that night and just a clutch performer. And I think a big thing about Kyle Hendricks too is I was scared to death watching him pitch because I was like, how is this guy doing this? And when is it going to break down? When is this magic going to stop? Because the guy does not throw 90 miles per hour. And I was always like, oh, man. And he proved me wrong. Like whatever he fell into a struggle, I was like, okay, this is the end. They've caught up with him. It's over. He's not going to outsmart them this time. And then he always does. I'll say one more thing. There were some spirited opinions out at Hallis Hall yesterday in the media room people talking about Kyle Hendricks saying that he ought hang it up, that he shouldn't even be playing anymore. Emma, Larry Mayer, the Crone Dog, Courtney Cronin, myself. Wow. It was like there's some baseball people that sit out there. And a lot of people, even Emma, I was very disappointed with him. Emma's like, he's cooked. He's done. He shouldn't even be playing anymore.
So, Mark, you picked a great one, but, you know, I think people forget, unless you go to the box score, he was your game seven pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
He took the ball, allowed one run. But I think people remember John Lester coming in, right?
He was taken out so early in relief, right?
Yes, I mean, I think people remember Lester coming in and then remember that, you know, the guy who couldn't be touched was touched and the game's tied and all of that jazz. That was an unbelievable moment. But how the Cubs knew he was done. He knew he was done here. And the fact that, like, Tommy Hotovy came and took him out, that whole thing, instead of Craig Counsell for the final time at Wrigley Field against the Reds this year. Really cool moment, and I'll always hold him in high regard.
As you guys know, I'm new to the Chicago area and the Chicago Cubs. I grew up in St. Louis, so we all know what that means.
You should just pass.
But I'm just going to say this because I really have enjoyed covering the Cubs, even though it's been, you know, less than thrilling the last two seasons. But I would say that that's a guy that was just a consummate pro. I mean, and just a lovely person to be around and just so much respect for his career and what he's doing. And you do almost want him to just hang it up here, right? Mm. Like, that is kind of...
If
he feels like he's got more in the tank, like, you have every right in the world to go try it out.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's just making sure that he doesn't have something left in the tank. He was terrible. Yeah. Last year, there's no doubt about it. But I have for so many times I thought it was over for him, and then you just completely proved me wrong, so I can't do it. Did you enjoy 2015, by the way? Do you remember when the Cubs eliminated the Cardinals and stuff like that?
I do.
That's awesome. That was awesome.
How many World Series do you guys have? Okay, just checking.
We're not doing Cardinals v. Cubs.
I'm just kidding. I'm a Chicago girly now.
Who's got better pizza?
Oh, definitely Chicago. Not even a question.
Emos, yeah, little Emos. Is that what it's called?
Emos, yeah.
Emos, not little Emos. It's Emos.
Emos, yeah. Just ask Jason Tatum. Me, Jason Tatum, and Nelly.
Here's another question.
Wow, we know that voice as well. Ugh. What about the Bulls? They did not have Zach LaVine last night in the loss to the Mavs. Will they tonight versus the T-Wolves? And if Zach's even on the court, will it matter, win or lose?
The Bulls are confusing when they have everybody healthy because, like, just listening to the coverage and reading the coverage, this year is just not about winning. It really isn't. Of course they would accept it if they did, but they're in the midst of this confusing, painful rebuild, whatever you want to call it. So, hey, great if Zach is back. You got to up his trade value. If Zach has a great year, that's cool. All of that stuff. But I kind of, as horrid as the Bulls were last night, I did enjoy watching Modest Buzelis look confident and feel a little bit of ownership out there and aggressive. And, you know, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals. Just for the heck of it, he threw in a block as well. And the team did not shoot well, and they were predictable. And there was Buzelis was the only redeeming part of that entire game. But I kind of would rather see the development Bulls at this point. So I don't care if Zach LaVine plays or not.
I don't care if Max LaVine plays either. But what I'm disappointed in, Josh Giddey, 5 turnovers last night. That's too much. He's supposed to be better with the ball. Ayo Dosunmu, 2 for 10? 2 for 10 from 3-point distance? Come on, Ayo. You're better than that. The spread tonight, per our guys over at Circus Sports Illinois, T-Wolves -8. It might as well be 12. I mean, I don't think it matters if Zach's there or not. The total, 228.5. I mean, I think the T-Wolves might score 135 tonight. So, I mean, it's just bad. It's bad. And good for Buzelis. I thought he was already out in wherever the Windy City Bulls play. I thought he was getting ready because I think the Windy City Bulls start this weekend. I thought he was getting ready to don that jersey.
Oh, you think he's going to do? Maybe he'll play for both teams.
Well, they had already assigned him. Well, that's a good thing about it being in your town is that you can quickly get the player back and forth. You put him on Air Reinsdorf and get him to wherever he needs to be.
By the way, whenever I hear Modest Bozelis said, I always hear Madame Bozelis for some reason. I don't. It's the weirdest thing.
Madame.
Yeah. Oh, Madame Bozelis.
I think Zach, I mean, he's on the trip, right? That to me is the only positive sign that he's trending in the right direction. Again, I hear you on whether or not it matters. It's not really the point of the season, but I mean, he's a great player and he can still play and he's going to produce and he's going to score and he's going to create opportunities for other people. And I think he, in a lot of ways, sometimes, not all the time, but he can elevate the play of the people around him. So I think that's why maybe if you're even still from the developmental aspect of you want this young team to grow, having him on the floor, I think, elevates people around him. But if they win or lose, I hear you. I mean, best wishes.
Amen. That is Ruthie Polinsky. I am Mark Rohde. We collectively are in for Mully and Haw today. 312-644-6767 is the number. When we return, the extra point. And, of course, we'll take your text messages on your favorite reindeer. Are you a Donner guy? Are you a Blitzen guy? Are you just faithful to Rudolph? Whatever the case may be, we'd love to hear it. 312-644-6767. It's the Mully and Haw Show on The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
How will the Bears' defensive injury, Billings, the Pack, Brisker still in concussion protocol? With those guys out, how can the Bears stop the run?
Pray. No. I think the Billings loss is arguably worse than if Montez Sweat were out. I think T.J. Edwards was the guy that called him the anchor of the defense. He's just been not only against the run, but just in general. And it's a guy who has been so solid against the run, but also had a little bit more like pep in his step than I think anyone really anticipated in terms of rushing the passer, too. So I am very sad about Big Bill. I think that's going to hurt. And with Jaquan Brisker, I mean, that's a guy that plays so physical and is such a enforcer is the word that I think a lot of people like to use to describe him.
Like,
and the physical way that he plays, not having him out there, he's a tone setter. He's like a guy that just you watch him play and you want to play hard too. And I think just not having him as another line of defense against the run, it's just tough. And obviously your primary concern is for the person and for his health long term, not just in the immediate future in this season, but just in his life. But I think on the field, which is, you know, what the point of this question is how do they stop the run? You pray.
Well, you just got to be a little bit tougher. You just got to really want it. That's to me, it's stopping the run is about effort. And their leading rusher is the quarterback. He's the guy. So either T.J. Edwards or Tremaine Edmonds, I don't know exactly how they set it up, but one of those two guys has to be a spy on him. And these big, heavy load defensive linemen need to keep the guards off of the linebackers if they're going to do it. I will be with you, Ruthie, and praying is a good idea.
Well, I think pray that Montez Sweat returns. And I hate to think that Montez Sweat means that much to the Bears' defense. You know what I mean? Well, I know how good to great Montez Sweat is, but if the Bears' defense is that helpless without that guy, then they're not a very good defense, and they're way too dependent on Montez Sweat. I'll tell you what, like talking about like the play harder, which Dustin was talking about, no doubt about it. Like I'm sure that defense got their butts kicked watching the film, watching James Conner go 18 carries for 107 yards, 6 yards per carry, watching Amari DiMarcado on a 3rd and 5 run 53 yards for a touchdown at the end of the first half. I'm sure they are getting crushed. So if any part of this team is going to have a little extra juice this week, it is 100% going to be that defensive line and the linebackers as well. And the good news is, I guess, air quotes, is that the leading rusher for New England in their 20-17 loss to Tennessee was Drake May, the quarterback, who is, I don't know that, like, I don't think we're going to be seeing Drake May rush for, you know, 11 yards per carry in each of his NFL games. I don't think that's going to happen. But he was the leader. And Ramondre
Stevenson,
thank you. 10 carries for 16 yards and a touchdown. So, like, they don't really come in with momentum on the ground, but I don't know that the Cardinals necessarily did either. So, easier opponent, be ready. I'd like to see some Jervon Dexter. Like, he could use a splash, you know?
Pickens?
Absolutely Zach Pickens. Dexter, after the leverage play last week, which was weird, unsportsmanlike conduct. Dumb. I talked to him about that a little bit yesterday, and he just kind of was throwing his arms up. He was kind of showing me techniques and ways to get around that that they're going to go with. But, yeah, I think that, like, those guys, it's time. Like, it's time for another tackle for loss out of Dexter. It's time for him to bust through the line. DeMarcus Walker, where you at? You know what I mean? Like, time for him to make a play as well. But it is, it's absolutely a huge concern. But I hope that they are not, you know, wholly dependent on either Montez Sweat or Andrew Billings, for that matter, as good of a player as that guy is.
Another person that would be nice to see him pop a little bit would be Daryl Taylor, who just had a really strong start to the season. Matt Eberflus sounded optimistic that he would be able to go. I know he was on the injury report.
He was limited, so he did practice yesterday.
So he did practice. So that's good news.
And then, you know, your secondary guys too. Jalen Johnson, got to be ready to make tackles. Hopefully Kyler Gordon is good to go. Got to be ready to make tackles. So be ready in that secondary as well. 312-644-6767. This is the part where we will see you guys calling in here. This is a time when we might just have time to take a phone call or two. 312-644-6767. Ruthie Polinsky is here. I am Mark Grody. We are in for Molly and Haw on The Score.
Ooh-wee. How do they stop the run? You pray.
That's why we pray. Yes, we do. That is Ruthie Polinsky right there. She is in today. I am in today. I'm Mark Grody. Molly and Haw have the day off today. Told you we'd take some of your calls. Let's go to Tony in Joliet. Tony, you're on The Score.
Hey, Mark, Ruthie, you guys are great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the dwarf I'm going with. I'm going to go with Dopey. I was stupid enough to forget how bad the offensive line was, and I actually picked him to beat Arizona. And my last point, let's be straight, guys. This Bears team is on life support. And the Patriots, all they're going to provide is a little time for the family to get to the bedside to say goodbye. Because once Green Bay comes, The plug is pulled, and it's going to be one long funeral. There's so many problems with the team. Not even going to get into it. You guys addressed it. But this is just same old song, man. And we keep putting more dimes in the jukebox up here every year. Let's play it again.
Tony, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Tony.
We got you down for Dopey. I'm big time on blitzing. But, no, he's right. I do think the Bears are going to win this Sunday. I think it's going to be ugly. I don't think the Bears are going to blow. They're not in shape right now to blow anybody out. I do think they're going to win, but I'm not picking the Bears to beat Green Bay. I'm sorry. I just, like, I made a decision at the beginning of this year. I picked the Bears to lose twice to Green Bay because the Bears don't beat Green Bay. They just don't.
It's disappointing, right? Because you really thought after that 3-game win streak that things would just keep going up and up and up, and maybe they'd be able to make some noise in the division. And I think you can look at whatever happens against New England and maybe you'll just feel good that week and just, you know, as NFL fans, you just kind of get a little delulu, as the kids say, you know, you get a little delusional each week. It's another roller coaster. So let's say the Bears do blow out the Patriots. You're like, oh my gosh, if they play like that, they could beat Green Bay. I do think the one thing against Green Bay, and I know there's time to talk about it, but Jordan Love does turn the football over. So if the Bears can capitalize on that, I think they have a shot. But back to this game, I think it is disappointing, to Tony's point, I think it is disappointing that the offensive line wasn't more of a priority this offseason. And, yeah, go ahead, Ryan Bates, like, look how that, you know, it's disappointing. So I think go beat New England, One week at a time. We'll get to Lulu next week.
DeLulu. Love DeLulu. Lou Piniella and DeLulu. It is ironic that Ryan Poles, who's put together a pretty good roster, has not quite figured out the offensive line. And it is, I will say, it is hard in this league to put together good offensive lines. There's not a lot of good or great offensive lines that exist. But as Olin Krutz always talks about, you need to look at where these guys have been drafted or not drafted in their lives. And you've got one guy on that line, and Darnell Wright, who is a first-round pick. Other than that, it's Tevin Jenkins as well, second-round pick. But it's just not like a sought-after offensive line. We got to take a break because coming up next, it is absolutely Biggs time. We will talk to Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune more about the Bears, Mark Grody, and Ruthie Polinsky on the Mully and Haw Show on The Score.
Blitzen! Blitzen!
Donner!